love in action. Tantra teaches a person to live with an open heart and authentically say yes to yourself. And Tantra has been a way of exploring sexuality in a way that presents sexuality in a sacredness, which is very different to the way in which it's presented in our society now. We have with us today Martina Hughes. Martina Hughes is a personal friend of mine and David's, and we've attended many of her groups. Martina has set up a business called Tantric Blossoming, which is a wonderful, unique venue for men and women to meet in a sacred space and to explore heart-opening practices. Martina has done this for many years, and she joins us now to tell us about how she started it and where she's going with Tantric Blossoming. Martina, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Martina.
Thanks, Lana and David. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful to have you with us.
Yeah, we thought this would be a great show for our listeners. I've had a great experience with you when Lana introduced me to Tantra. I knew nothing about it. And, it's really opened up my heart, my eyes, and I've had a much better relationship with Lana as a result. So we thought it would be great to have you on our show to tell our listeners all about it, because very few people actually know what Tantra is all about.
Yeah, and it's certainly a life-transforming experience for those people who do dive into the world of Tantra. And unfortunately, there have been a lot of misperceptions about what it is. So it's great to be able to speak with both of you and share some of the power and the authenticity of what's behind Tantra.
Well, tell us about Tantra and tell us how you first perhaps came to know about it.
Yeah, I had been on a very deep personal journey myself for a number of years, and I'd studied shiatsu and rebirthing and energetic healing for my own personal development as well as for working with clients. But it occurred to me that sexuality was overlooked in every area that I'd explored, and in actual fact, a lot of teachers deliberately stayed away from sexuality. And so I started my own inner inquiry about why this area of life that feels so powerful, that's so strong, that so many of us are drawn to, how come it gets overlooked? How come it hasn't been integrated into a more healthy way in our spiritual and personal development teachings? So that took me on a quest around my own sexuality and an awareness that my feminine had been denied and repressed for a lot of years. And so when I first went along on a Tantra weekend retreat, my world opened up very significantly and my life transformed 180 degrees over that 2.5 day weekend. And the result the experience for me was a very, very deep homecoming to myself. And as a result of that coming home to myself, many things changed in my outer world. And I started having much deeper inner connection and really an embodiment of what Tantra is about.
I love how you talked about it being a homecoming. I guess that, you know, focuses on how sexuality is just such a deep and important and powerful energy in all of us. And that you, I guess what you're saying is that by understanding and connecting with our own sexuality, we come to understand our true selves.
Definitely. Sexuality, our sexual energy is actually part of our own life force energy. It's part of our fuel. It's part of our capacity for moving through life. Unfortunately, it's been quite distorted and manipulated, and people put so many connotations on sex from that place of distortion, and then we live as though our sexuality is about the other person. But in actual fact, we need to embrace it, embody it, own it for ourselves, so that that fuel becomes available for our own health, well-being, and vitality.
I agree with you. I think that, you know, it's a very pure energy and it's a very powerful energy and it's our life force. It's consciousness and it's very emotional and it's very intense and it's very creative and it is about self-love. And yet I think our view of it has been distorted. Society's view has sort of made it impure. We've given different meanings to it. And I think Tantra is a much more pure view of sexuality.
Definitely. It's about looking at sexuality without the taboos, without all the rules and agendas, but to actually say, how does sexuality feel inside of my body? Rather than what does my mind project it as, because quite often the ideas in our mind about sexuality are projections or conditioning we've taken on. But what does sexuality truly feel like in the body is a very different experience.
I think you're right, and it is more about a feeling than the intellectual side of us, which carries our beliefs about sexuality. And that's an important point that you just made.
It's interesting that you're saying it's very much about your journey, about your own experience and not the other person. However, I guess in our society, you know, I guess one of the criticisms is that, you know, sexuality can be misused for your own good. And I guess say that in those Tantra classes, there's such a respect and such a love that exists for other people that not only can you experience your own sexuality in a safe environment, but you experience the other person's sexuality in a sacred space, wouldn't you say? Mm. It enhances the whole experience between two people.
Definitely, yeah. It's when we're home and comfortable in our own body, the connection with the other takes on that quality of sacredness. Mm. When I'm at home inside of myself, I don't need to grab at something from the other. I don't need to push and pull and enact all those unhealthy dynamics. I respect that you are you and you have your own fuel, your own gifts to give, your own inner alignment. And I can meet you with a respect in that rather than needing to make my agenda your agenda.
Okay. And I just want to quickly add, when I first heard about Tantra, I had no idea what that was all about. And I just want to say my experience with it, this was not about sexual acts.
David was a bit worried about having to be nude in a hall full of nude people.
Yeah, I mean, most of my friends have no idea what the word means. And I think, I mean, maybe we should start off right off the bat just by talking about where this term comes from, what it traditionally means, and how you bring that when you teach that to people in the classes that you have at Tantric Blossoming.
Sure, yeah. Well, Tantra, the word itself literally means expansion of energy. And it's an Indian word, and the practice of Tantra is thousands of years old and from India. In a lot of the traditional Indian fields of yoga and tantric exploration, devotees would dedicate themselves to years and years and years of yoga and breathing practices before they would even get to explore Tantra or any of the sexual energy practices. They gave a really deep respect to the sexual energy practices and a kind of reverence that if one explores with those practices before they're ready, it can be too much for the system. Now, here in the modern world and in the West, we practice a version that is otherwise known as Neo-Tantra, meaning it's, you know, Tantra for today's modern world. And so we're using those sexual energy practices, and because there has been so much distortion and control around sexuality, and each and every one of us is born from sexuality, and yet at a very early age, we take on our parents' and society's beliefs that there's something wrong with sexuality. Mm. So because that has had such a huge impact on our society, most of us don't have the luxury of years of yoga and meditation and breathing practices before we get to the heart of dealing with sexuality. So Neo Tantra is about creating safe spaces in which you can explore those sexual energy practices, coming from a deep inner awareness and being facilitated and held by people who have traveled that journey. And it's an uncomfortable experience, because sometimes things will come to the surface that people have kept buried for a long time.
That's so true. I actually remember I found Tantra to be very healing, and I remember I had one class with which Susan Glynn was at, another one of our guests who was on our show, where I felt that when I came into the class, I wasn't feeling too well, and all of a sudden I felt a really sharp pain in my gut. And, you know, I guess maybe because I was entering the class and the vibes were very high there, I actually felt like I was going to be very sick and that I might even have to go to the emergency room. And Susan and Lana came over and gave me energy and almost like Reiki. And something actually came out of me, and I felt this real relief, you know, and it was the strangest thing that's ever happened to me, really. I mean, not the strangest, but certainly an amazing thing to feel this tremendous pain and just have it released just like that in that kind of an environment.
Is that something that you find many people might experience in classes?
It's a possibility, yeah. I've seen people have strong experiences of physical pain or experiences of emotional pain that comes up for release. And right. you will have experienced at our events that we always have facilitators and assistants available. And also we've got a strong supportive community of regulars who can hold the space with an awareness of those things that can come up.
Yeah.
Right. And I do believe that was emotional pain for me manifesting in my body, you know, and in my guts. And so that was an eye opener for me. And in my experience with Tantra and in your classes, there was eye gazing, and there was just even where we would line up and we would walk towards each other, men and women. That was one of the exercises that we did. And we would feel each other's energy, and it would open up our awareness, and we would see how we feel in our bodies and our emotions that would come up and our thoughts. And I actually found I did this with another male a man in the class, and it was really amazing to walk towards each other and look into each other's eyes as we came closer, and just to stand there and sort of be mindful of how we felt and how we perceived the other person. And,
so if I could just tell listeners that this is obviously everyone's fully clothed.
Yes.
and that certainly in my experience, a lot of what happens in the classes might not necessarily be just about sensuality, but might be about authentic self and meeting other people in an authentic, open-hearted way. And that's what I think causes such a wonderful feeling in the room, that everyone is being themselves and everyone is open to each other. And I think you facilitate that wonderfully, Martina. I don't know how long it took for you to, you know, establish all those exercises together, but certainly within the course of a few hours you can go into a room and possibly not know anyone and come out at the end feeling like everyone is friends on some sort of deep sort of spiritual level, or everyone's open and supportive, and there's this incredible sense of generosity of the human spirit.
That's right. And this is very different from any other type of practice that I've seen, and from any other type of alternative medicine or communication, building relationship, building skills and whatnot. So, and you do that very well, Martine. You come highly recommended from me. And you are in Australia. We do have a lot of American listeners. You know, I do encourage people to seek this out as a tool for themselves.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to make it to America this year or next year. So if the listeners out there are interested, there could be some opportunities coming up. But
Oh, wonderful.
if I can just speak to the Tantric Nights experience and some of what you've just spoken about,
Delicious.
is we are social creatures, and while I talk about the connection with self, a big part of our healing can come through being in connection with others, being accepted by others, being nourished, and feeling love from another can help us to create a new imprint for love within ourselves. So when people come along to Tantric Nights and feel so much love in the room and such a sacred space that's being held, it helps to remind us that we are love inside of ourselves. And so reformat some of the early conditioning and imprinting. And the other quite important lesson that comes from Tantric Nights is to expand our awareness of connection beyond what happens at the physical level, because while we can enjoy touch and we can enjoy physical elements, it's important to understand that whether we're in physical contact or not, we're always having an energetic effect on each other. So if my heart is open as I touch you, then I have a positive impact in my touch because my heart's opened. But if I'm struggling with something inside of myself, then when I touch you, that may have quite a jarring effect on you. And so we need to bring into balance that the physical and the energetic, they actually go together. And even to look at you without even touching you, there's the possibility that we can create an opening or we can create a contraction just by the energy that we hold inside of ourselves. So I always say with both our physical connections and our energetic connections, there's the possibility of creating contraction so that somebody closes. There's the possibility of staying neutral, or there's the possibility of creating more openness. And so at our events, we strongly hold the intention that we're either leaving people neutral or creating more openness, being the optimum way to work.
Right. And this is a, being a detective, I've taken interview and interrogation classes with law enforcement many years ago, where I would interview witnesses. And I know that 70% of language, at least, is nonverbal. So most of it's body language and facial expressions and emotional expression and the energy that we're putting out, these vibes that you're talking about, whether we're open or closed. And so we receive that. We're always receiving. We are always passive receivers. And I think that Tantra makes you a more active receiver because you're more mindful and conscious of the energy that you're putting out. And you know whether you're open or not. And you learn to understand the other person and read the other person and read their body language and their nonverbal cues and their emotional language so that you can work with the person, the other people better and have a better relationship with them. And I found that Tantra really opened me up so much more than I had already been, intuitively and with my awareness.
And because we're making it practical and we're making it every day and we're bringing that attention inside of the body and saying, okay, how can I slow down my inner world so that I really feel the quality of connection I'm making with you? If I'm relating with another from my habitual conditioned space, then I'm just kind of riding over the top of my inner world. But if I'm connected to my inner world at the same time as connecting with you, then it enhances the quality.
It's true because you get to know yourself better. You get in touch with your thoughts and feelings. And so when you understand yourself better and know yourself, it's much easier to have a relationship with other people, I think. Wouldn't you say, Lon?
Oh, absolutely, and I, the energetic connection is it's unseen, it's subtle, and yet it's so powerful. And I know that in some of the exercises that I've done in your classes, Martina, it's just been amazing. You know, I remember one class where I sat with my back to another man who I barely knew, and you actually asked us to energetically connect and see things in our own, you know, I think in our mind's eye, and feel the person energetically. And it was a really interesting exercise, very hard at first because you're dealing with things that you've not been taught how to do. It's subtle.
Right.
But by the end of the exercise, there was something quite powerful, and actually quite a powerful connection created between two people, and it's wonderful, wonderful things. And, you know, Martina, I would love this to be taught in school, for school children to be taught simple exercises of eye gazing,
right,
or maybe simple touching of hands with love, with an opening of the heart, you know, enabling young individuals just starting out in life to be able to connect on that wonderful energetic level. You know, I think it would really improve society.
I think it would. And I remember when you first told me about teaching this to adolescents before I even knew what tantric was, you know, and here I am working with children. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, a doctor's talking about this. But now that I understand what it's all about, it really does make sense. And it really does. You really have to let go of what you already know about sexuality and be open to learning new things. You have to empty yourself out and be open to what Martina has to teach.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I wholeheartedly agree. It would make a major difference if this kind of information was available to children and in schools, and somehow even more important is that parents and elders model the behavior as well, because so much of our learning when we're children comes through what we see and feel rather than what we're told.
That's right. So I guess that all of us at our age going to tantra classes, hopefully we'll, you know, hopefully we might be modeling to our younger generation. I hope so.
Right. But, this is a change in our thought pattern and what we know. I think society, Western society and many other societies and cultures have put themselves in a box in their minds in terms of what they're willing to accept and the beliefs that they're willing to accept about sexuality and just so many things related to it.
Yes. So, look, what we might do now is we might take a music break, and then when we come back, we'd just like to introduce you again with your website, and then perhaps you could take us maybe deeper or beyond, maybe talking about Kundalini and other energies, and maybe where you see this going perhaps in a few years' time. So let's take a music break now.
Why don't we have Martina give her website and contact
right
info
now, okay,
so people
right
can look that up
okay
if they want to.
Okay, know, Martina, could you just tell our listeners?
Sure. The website address is tantricblossoming.com, and there's also a YouTube channel where I've got some tantric meditations, and that's simply Tantric Blossoming.
Fantastic.
And that's tantricblossoming.com.
Fantastic. All right. So we'll take a music break. And in fact, we should have put on music that's tantric music. What we might do, actually, is we'll get back to what song Doug's saying. Okay. can you recommend a good tantric music that might be suitable?
Okay, you've just put me on the spot for a moment. There's lots of different musics for different flavors and moods.
I guess that's something that people can look up on YouTube, because I don't think our producer probably has that file anyhow. But that was a good thought. Let's just take a break and we'll put on some.
All right. Well, we might see if he can play something towards the end. That might be a good thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Martin. We'll be right back with Martina Hughes. Thank you, everyone.
Hello. Welcome back to Universe and Soul Love.
Welcome back, everybody.
This is Lana Love.
And David Love.
So today we're talking about Tantra. And we have a special guest with us, Martina Hughes, who's established tantric blossoming in Australia throughout, I think, many of our major cities as a social venue to explore, I guess, sacredness of inner heart and being and sexual energy. Martina, welcome to the show.
Welcome back, Martina.
Thanks, Lana and David.
So, Martina, I thought perhaps we could start off with you telling us a little bit more about tantric energy, which I believe is called Kundalini energy, which is, I think, considered to be one of the most powerful energies in the human body. Is that not right?
Yeah, sure. And Kundalini, sexual energy, life force energy, it is actually one and the same.
Yes.
Is it the same as chi?
That would be the vital life force, the vital essence, the most powerful creative life force in the universe, in mysticism, I believe.
Okay, so yeah. Is it the same as chi, is it?
Yes, it's the same. It's the same. So if there's any repression around our sexual energy or any repression of our feelings, we're also repressing Kundalini. We're repressing our chi. And so this is why one of the things that I say about Tantra is it's about saying yes to what wants to move inside of you. Because if we give space for our feelings to move, if we give space for our sexuality to move, then the Kundalini can move. And quite often when people first come to this kind of work, the Kundalini can activate quite strongly so that people have very strong orgasmic experiences as that Kundalini energy wakens and moves through the body. And sometimes the movement of the Kundalini in the body can be different. Well, it is different for everybody. For some people, there might be a lot of shaking and convulsing as the energy moves through parts of the body where there's been stuckness. Essentially, the Kundalini wants to awaken us, wants to open us up, and wants access to move right through the whole body.
Huh, that's interesting. This is unusual, but while you were speaking, I got a little bit of a message from my higher self or from Lana's higher self. And the thought I got was that because of our culture and because of the way we view sexuality, where it actually accounts for sacral chakra blockage, which is a reason for a high incidence of sexual dysfunction and impotence in Western culture and in many others.
Definitely. I have this analogy that I share at a lot of the workshops where when we're children, every time we're conditioned with a no, as in don't be so loud, don't touch yourself, don't cry, don't get angry, don't laugh so loud, whatever no's and don'ts come our way, they're like bricks on our sacral chakra, essentially shutting down the movement of that energy in the body. And so when that energy gets activated again, it can be like a shattering of those bricks so that we can come back into aliveness. Mm-hmm. And you only need to watch a child in their aliveness before the heavy conditioning takes hold, and a child will move from happiness to sadness to quietness to loudness in a matter of moments, and they're simply being in flow with their natural alignment. But the more conditioning we take on, the more we start to filter and censor ourselves, so that then we're listening more to the voices in our head, which become the internalized voices of parents and society, rather than from this Kundalini, which actually wants to activate, animate, awaken us from the inside.
Right. And I'm hearing that because of these walls, these blockages that we put up through our beliefs, we're actually our own worst enemy, and we're actually hurting ourselves through this, because we're keeping ourselves from having true pleasure, to experiencing sexuality to its fullest. That's really interesting.
Yeah, most people attempt to do sexuality through their mind because it's set up in our current world that people see it as an external experience. It's something that I get from somebody else. It's something that I watch in porn, or something happens on the outside for sexual arousal. And the capacity of the mind to create our sexual arousal becomes more and more limited as years go on, hence leading to difficulties with orgasm, difficulties with erection, and so on. So when people awaken from within the body and own their sexual energy from the inside, then there's the possibility to turn around the sexual dysfunction.
That's interesting. This is something new to me that I didn't know before,
That's actually
actually.
very, very interesting, the fact that you're saying that most people in our society are sort of focused on the external experience and what you get from the other.
Right.
When you think about, I guess, even well, I guess even porn in our
It's
society,
very visual.
well, there's a sense that, you know, I have a sense that these men are sort of thinking that this is the only way they can get access to their sexuality, and I guess all the porn out there is almost sort of I guess showing how out of touch a lot of men are with their own inner sexuality. It seems so artificial when you look at it that way. The really sexuality is about connecting with your own true self and knowing yourself.
That's right. Yeah, it's interesting. And unfortunately, it's affected many whole societies this way. But so
And
certainly, yep, go ahead.
it's very much a chicken and egg thing as well, because women will use sex to get what they want with men, and women will use sex to control men, which again is the women buying into that idea that sex can be used as a device, let's say, for getting what they want. So then that continues to put men in the role of, oh, if I do this behavior, then I will get the sex that I want from the woman. And so in some ways, men being attracted to porn has an element of him going, well, I don't have to be controlled by a woman. I'll just watch it online, kind of thing, which I'm not in support of it, but it's one way that a man is attempting to kind of have an experience that's not dependent on his partner or a possible partner. But again, the women in porn aren't actually embodying sexual energy for the most part. There's very few women in porn who actually are really in touch with their bodies.
Interesting.
Right. Right.
It that's
A different way of looking at
yeah, I
it.
mean, because Tantra is really about love, and it's almost like, you know, we're in Tantra, we're talking about intimacy, and it's almost like sex now has we have a value, a dollar value on that. And so it's very materialistic rather than just being about intimacy, true intimacy and pure love. So that's objectifying it really.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to think about, you know, to think about how the sexes can manipulate each other with sexuality, and of course, Tantra is about authenticity. Something I was really hoping you to tell us about was the idea of sexual polarity and the interplay of this kundalini energy from masculine to feminine and back, you know, in that sort of like arc. Something that you taught very early on. I think I was introduced to that in my first session in Tantra.
Yeah, the polarity between men and women when it comes to the sexual relating, as I've just said, a lot of sexuality comes from the mind and the images the mind projects. But when we come into a more embodied state with our sexual energy, the woman's vagina is receptive in polarity. It's magnetic, it's opening, it draws energy inwards. And of course, you can see from the physical, the inward nature of the vagina is that it's a more inner experience, and it can receive physically as well as energetically. And then in the woman's body, the breasts represent the heart, and the heart polarity in a woman is the place where we can direct energy from. So we can direct energy out through our heart and our breasts. And again, the breasts are external, that the breasts physically show that there's an external element. So that energy can go from a woman's heart and breasts to a man's heart. And then when that energy flows into the man's heart, it then flows down through his body and feeds his penis and feeds his sexual energy. His penis is, of course, more external, so then he's able to direct that energy from his penis to the woman's vagina. So then you have this circuit of energy that goes from the penis to the vagina, up to the woman's heart, and then across to the man's heart. So when sex and connection between man and woman happen with that in mind, then there's a deeper quality of union that happens. There's a deeper level of sharing energy and opening and feeling each other. Now, there's a few things that get in the way of that. Often men and women have separated love and sex. Like, there'll be certain partners that they experience strong love with but not such great sex, or there are certain partners where they experience great sex but not so much love. So a lot of the work that we do in Tantra is about bringing love and sex together, bringing that level of connection between the genitals and the heart, so that both men and women can have the experience of giving and receiving. Because if sex just stays at the level of the genitals, it will mean that a man generates a lot of energy in his penis, directs it outwards to a woman, she receives it in her vagina. But if that doesn't travel up through the bodies, then it can create an excess fire in a woman's vagina. It can create excess tension in her vagina. It can also create a kind of disappointment and resentment in both the man and the woman, because the man experiences his energy decreasing after sex. The woman may experience herself as feeling frustrated or not having the depth of opening that she would like to have. So bringing the energy up to the heart leaves the man and the woman with a greater sense of fulfillment.
And that's it's integrating the whole body together then as well. So the
complete circuit.
That's right, and the whole body takes place in this experience.
And this is a very spiritual practice. And I just want to mention, because I practice mysticism. In mysticism, we would call Tantra sex magic, and there would be ceremonial and ritualistic applications for that, for sort of like for producing, for manifesting things, for creating visions. And Leonard and I, you know, in our own time, we've actually had visions, and we've had some amazing experiences on the spiritual plane using Tantra. So, although,
and I guess the way I would look at it, and I'm wondering whether you could comment on this, is my understanding is that it can actually help open up the third eye and open up perhaps spiritual vibrations of both partners to perhaps go and achieve a higher level of awakening.
Definitely. By bringing conscious intention into lovemaking, and by being able to move the energy through the body, through the genitals, through the heart, you can also then direct the energy with your intention up to the third eye or up to the crown chakra to have those levels of openings happen. The energy can also be directed for, as David said, for manifestation and creation of what it is you're wanting to bring forth in your life. So the more deeply people go in their union together, then the more energy becomes available to feed into opening through the body, not only physically but spiritually, but then also for creation in the world as well.
And Lana and I have only, you know, had, I mean, some limited experience with this, but I can attest that both of us have had some amazing visions, some of the most amazing visions I've ever had, and I think Lana has too, some huge insights from just from being mindful and in the moment when you're with the other person.
Which is an amazing experience and amazing way of increasing, I guess, your spiritual energy.
And your higher knowledge.
And, of course, what we in Universal Soul Love, our the S in soul stands for the sacred union of the masculine and the feminine, and we very much sort of teach and believe in the importance of the sacred masculine, the sacred feminine uniting in this day and age, you know, after feminism has achieved hopefully some level of equality in some cultures. Obviously, we're very much hoping that the tensions between the sexes can be reduced through, you know, a variety of practices, including Tantra, and that the masculine and the feminine together, man and woman, or same-sex couples as well, but the two people uniting with this energy, we feel can create a state of being which is perhaps produces energy more than the sum of just two people, you know, enhancing each other's energy.
That's right. We're adding to each other's energies, and we see this as a very powerful union of the masculine and feminine energy, and you know, we see this as the post-feminist movement and an end to the gender war, and almost like the spiritual union of Venus and Mars, or Aphrodite and Aries, if you will.
In that sort of mythology, yes. Right. Because I know that, you know, certainly amongst my friends, many of whom are single or divorced, and I myself was divorced, but now I'm with David, there's, you know, amongst some people there's a cynicism, and there's a, you know, after people break up from a few relationships, a lot of people are not inclined to get back into any relationships, and they become blocked. And where David and I very much teach the importance of, I guess, accessing this great respect and sacredness in a relationship that can actually allow for a union to be much healthier and to iron out a lot of the tensions between the sexes.
Exactly.
So
opening yourself up, and because this is where mysticism was very much about illumination and higher knowledge, this practice is very much a heart-centered practice, and I think it's so wonderful to have it available.
Yes.
And that you're teaching it to people.
I think it's just wonderful that you brought this out and, you know, contributed to this becoming more and more popular and more accessible to people. Tell us about your plans about well, first of all, perhaps you could tell us about the different levels of the Tantric Blossoming classes, because I think there's an entry level, and then I think people can actually go deeper and deeper if they wish to attend various weekends.
Yeah, for sure. And I just wanted to comment a little just on what you were speaking about, it and the fighting and the resentment that's been at play between men and women and all of that kind of gender stuff, which is where Tantra comes by coming into our heart and a deep heartfelt appreciation and respect for each other. So that instead of fighting to be equal, we can come to recognize that men and women are complementary to each other. And I know for me as a woman, attempting to be more masculine was actually quite draining and tiring. Now, I still have access to healthy application of my masculine energy, but trusting and letting a man take the masculine lead was very healthy and supportive for my feminine and gave her space to shine as well. So I think that Tantra is quite crucial in bringing some balance to a society that has still some elements of being homogenous. And what I mean by homogenous is like when you have rocks on a riverbed that rub up against each other all the time, they round out each other's edges, so the polarity doesn't exist anymore. So when men and women attempt to be equal, and if their focus is on equality, then it's actually taken away the aspect of polarity and the complementary nature of the masculine and feminine. So well, maybe I just kind of share that. I know it's a little different to the question you'd asked me, but yeah.
Well, that's a valid point. Sure. And I guess when we talk about equality, I guess I was talking about equality in terms of, you know, equal rights. So I guess what you're saying is the masculine and feminine, that we are inherently different, although could I then challenge that with a spiritual challenge that really really the essence of nature is non-dualistic, sure. And so that whereas black and white exist, I guess at the end of the day, perhaps when you ascend to the highest level of spiritual awakening, I believe genders don't exist
that's
either.
Right, yeah.
So
that's where you meet your true self, your true essence, and a genderless consciousness.
Yeah, so.
But you know, in the physical plane, we do have male and masculine and feminine energies, and it's not just about equal rights; it's about an equal exchange of energy, so that we're both feeling up to our full potential and that we're feeling fully vital in life.
So I guess what Martine is saying is that we are essentially in a human body, there are differences and
true,
that we should
yes.
be able to celebrate.
Absolutely. On the physical plane, we are masculine and feminine, you know, but on the spiritual plane, you know, that's a totally different matter.
But then again, Martina, isn't it true that in every individual there are masculine and feminine energies, and I believe
yes.
it's important to be able to balance those as well, so that in each man or woman, they would also have access to their feminine and masculine. Is that not right?
Yes, that's true. Each of us has feminine and masculine qualities. Man and woman have access to both. I guess, you know, part of the work that I share is about really appreciating that as a woman, I was born into this woman's body for quite a specific reason, to experience life through that feminine lens. So I can enjoy a healthy expression of my masculine, but if the masculine dominates the way that I live and the way I create, I will become exhausted.
Mm. Can you give us an example of that so that our listeners and so that I can understand exactly what you're saying in terms of how a woman would be eroded if her masculine energy dominated?
I guess because I had a prior life as an accountant before I came to the Tantra world, and when I was in that mode and working in the corporate space, I very much lived in my masculine, and the masculine dominated the way I lived. And it
Could
left
you what you mean left, in the masculine energy? What mm-hmm. how you define that?
Well, I was quite controlling and quite tight in how I held my energy. I was much more engaged with my mind and external success and achievement, and very disconnected from my feelings and my heart and the expression of the woman inside of me, who needed space to play and to be free and to feel and to communicate and share from that heart space. In hindsight, I look back and can see that it's almost as though the woman inside of me was dying during those years, and I had some physical ill health at the time, and I also had some pretty big emotional challenges because I wasn't really listening to my inner self.
Okay, wow, that's really amazing. Now, we're just told that we've got 25 seconds left, which is such a shame. We have to have you back on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really amazing. Look, thank you, Martina. Could you just once again tell our listeners about your website?
Sure. It's tantricblossoming.com, and there's a lot of articles on there. There's some videos and all the information on our events that are available here in Australia, and I'm also hoping to be doing some international events soon. And also I'm available for Skype sessions anywhere around the world for those listening overseas.
Okay. Just thank you so much for being on a show. I had a lot that I wanted to add to this, but we'll have to do another show. I think this is so, this is such a great show, and I know we got a good turnout for this, which I'm grateful for. Thank you to all our listeners for tuning into this.
All right. Well, we'll have to say goodbye. We'll have to have you back. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And goodbye from Universal Soul Love.
Goodbye till next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
It's been great sharing. Thanks.